This sermon is brought to you by Shofar East London. Together, living out the fullness of Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, everyone. I am Michelle, as he already introduced myself. I am from Brazil, and today it will be a pleasure to share a little bit about my story, how I came to faith, and how I joined this adventure life and the ship. But my first question for you will be, someone have been to visit a ship before? Like traveling or some of you. So, okay, now we will say a little bit about how is to live in a ship, especially when we are talking about to live in 350 people from different 70 different countries. So it's a big mixture of people living in the same place. Some people come just by yourself, like myself, but some people come as a family and have kids. In the ship, we have also school for the kids. So I'm telling this because when I joined the ship, I have no idea what this will look like. I had no idea how big is the ministry and how impactful it is. And yeah, I didn't think before to be a missionary. And I joined the ship and I discovered what God is doing in the world. And it's just incredible and amazing to see what He is doing, because it's about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's His job. It's what He's doing, but it's through us. And yeah, this come. I will tell you a little bit about my story and how I discovered the ship, because, as I said, I didn't think before to be a missionary. I am a very new Christian. My story is not very long in Christian life. I was born in a Catholic family in Brazil, not very practicant, not going much to the church, but truly believing that, yeah, we need to be a good people, right? Good person, helping people. And I did this for all my life. If you ask me before if I will go to heaven, I will say yes, because I was being a good person. But actually, I didn't have the gospel, the exactly message of the gospel in my heart. But my parents divorced when I was 7. And this make my life be split between my mom and my dad. And I think I all my life, unconsciousness, I was trying to save or trying to connect something. And also I was a kind of far away from my dad. So I was trying all the time in many ways to proud them, to make them proud of me. And I did this for many ways. And maybe some of you will and connect with my story. I did this studying a lot, working very hard. So I had a very successful career, all the time getting higher positions in companies. I am an accountant and I also study wines. So my career was split between both of these areas. As an accountant, I was very rational, thinking a lot. So my mentor, she always say the biggest distance is between here and here. Because sometimes we know in our mind, but don't come to our heart. And the change, it's in our heart. So I start to all of these actions in my life to make my parents proud. But I was not thinking, oh, I will make my parents proud of me. No, I was just doing. And yeah, I got this. I had my academic laureate in the university, the best student, all of these things that looks like my life was perfect. But in 2020, I decided to start to read the Bible. As a Catholic, I always believed in God. I prayed for God. But the difference is I didn't have a relationship with Him. It was not personal. God is someone who is a kind of far away. He's in somewhere. And I'm praying for Him. I believe in Him, but He's far. And what changed? It's now I know He's personal. But in that time, I decided to start to read the Bible. I always I really love as accountant also. I love leadership area, business area. So I was very involved to learn more about it. And I thought, if I read the Bible, probably I will get a lot of information and a lot of discover things can help me in my leadership path, right? So I started to read and I post on my Instagram. And one lady from another state in Brazil, as you probably know, Brazil is a massive country. So this lady is from, she need to go to my place, she needs to fly around 3 hours. And this lady started to follow my Instagram because my last project in Brazil was in a wine, in the wine industry. And we drove around Brazil, one friend and I, we drove for 9 months by car. And we visited more than 100 wineries, and we were writing a book about Brazilian wines. And in this path, this lady started to follow the project, but also my personal Instagram. And my Christian life started online. Because she replied that post. I posted Genesis 1 on my Instagram. And she gave me a lot of tips that how I maybe I could have a better experience reading and having maybe starting for the New Testament, because I will had the big message of the Bible, and after I could start in Genesis 1. And in the end, she offered to study with me. And I said, yes. So as a very rational, yes, let's go to study this. And I start to study, and a lot of things make sense. Many things don't make sense completely. And I study for 2 years. These 2 years online, every Wednesday night, she in her country, she's in her place, and I in my place, studying together. So this is just point, like God works in different ways. It's not beautiful to see how he's amazing. He can, yeah, sometimes it's personal. It's someone who is your neighbor or your colleague, but sometimes it's just don't limit him. And later on, I discovered that she was praying because it was COVID time. So she was praying for someone to interact with her, and she could, you know, preach the gospel and study together. But yeah, I studied for 2 years and I didn't give my life to Jesus. Super rational, right? But so in the end of this, I was finishing the book. And the book, when came back for us, for we have like the last reading of the book, came from the editor. And the editor is the person who will correct our mistakes, right? But what happened was exactly the opposite. When the book came with at least 1,000 mistakes. And I'm not joking. It was a lot of mistakes. Portuguese. The book was in Portuguese, so Portuguese mistakes. That time, I don't know what I should do. I didn't have control about what's going on. But I thought always in my life I had control about everything because I could study a lot and being the best student. I could work so hard and being a very successful career. So in that time, I couldn't do anything. And I'm very grateful for that because even was so hard in that time was exactly the point when I said, okay, I don't have control. I discovered that I don't have control about anything, so I don't want anymore to dwell just by myself. So one day I was driving for my dad's house, and I just said, you know, Lord, I don't know exactly, even I was studying in 2 years, I don't know exactly how to ask you, but you know my heart. And if I don't, I'm not feeling what I should feel, make me feel. Feel my heart giving my life to you. I would like to give you my life to you. And I don't know the next steps. I don't know what's going to happen. Because before, I was putting in a balance, you know. I didn't understand what is the benefits of this properly. I knew, but I didn't have this big eternal life. What does it mean? And a lot of things that I had, trying to be proud of my parents and this story, all of them, was also involved in relationships and these kind of things. And yeah, I didn't realize for me the cost when I think like what I shouldn't do anymore was too heavy. And this is what made my life like, oh, took these 2 years. But yes, I prayed and I didn't have a very big experience in that day. I thought, yeah, now I will feel something. Like, wow, something will happen. I will cry or I will do something. I don't know. But this didn't happen. And I didn't realize in that time, okay, I think I'm becoming a Christian. So 2 months later, I start to go in one church in the next week. In the next week, I start to go in one church that my mentor, she came in my place. She paid for everything. She came in my place to suggest, to find a church for me, to suggest, oh, go in this church because I think you'll be having a very based Christian church in the Bible scripture. And I didn't really understand. For me, some point she would like something back. Yeah, but what she would like back is actually my life to Jesus. And yeah, so later on, many things happen. I understand that I just assume 2 months later, I understand like, oh, I think I became a Christian. It was exactly like that. I think I became a Christian. So I start to talk to my mentor. Oh, I think I became a Christian. And yeah, we start to talk about this and about the fruits in my life. And yeah, and I just, when I assumed this, everything started to change, like my heart, things that happen. I discover things that we don't see. For example, forgiveness. In this story with my dad, I have many things. And one of these, when I understand what is forgiveness, truly is just being an amazing journey. And after this, I moved to New Zealand. I was living in New Zealand before I joined the ship. It was in New Zealand that I met a lady who told me about the ship. And I didn't think that I should join the ship. I said, no. You know, God, we use my job, my work, to reach another people and just to glorify Him. But 15 days later, she came again and she said, you know, I think you should pray about it and I will pray with you. And every single door started to open to come to the ship. And I said, okay, Lord, I have 3 years, my visa. I paid for 3 years, but I didn't. I said, okay, you are asking me to do this. So I opened hands of dead and I came to the ship. It's been a very interesting adventure life. So all of this, my Christian life was 1 year and a half ago. But all of these things happening, all of this in this short time, all of these studies, the 2 years became real after this. And now joined the ship and having fellowship with different people. And just using skills that He gave to me, talents, things that He gave to me to use here. But this is my story. And you have your story and your talents and skills. And I am using now in this ministry. But yeah, maybe you will use in your jobs or careers. So I just would like to encourage you to think about it and also to visit us. To have a tour maybe in the ship, but also to visit our book fair. We have more than 5,000 titles in the book fair. This is how we share knowledge, help, and hope through books, through people, and through helping people. And it will be a pleasure to meet you there. Or if you have some question also, I will be here for later on. So thank you for listening to my story. And now I would like to invite Trezinha to continue with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Good morning, church. Are we doing well? My name is Trezinha, like you heard, and I am a local girl from further down the road in Buffalo Flats. That's where I live and grew up, but I have been with OM Operation Mobilization, a international interdenominational missions organization that serves in more than 100 countries in the world. I've been serving with OM for 20 years now. Also started my journey on the ship. So back in the day, I started on the ship and served for 4.5 years. It was the sister ship, the MV Doulos, also familiar to East London. And I did 4.5 years in Asia, East Asia, Middle East, the Pacific, East Africa as well. And currently I'm serving on and from the continent to other parts of the world. It is indeed a great pleasure to be with you this morning. and to share with you a bit from God's word as well. And we are convinced, I am convinced, that God's story involves all of God's people. Amen? Each and every one of us, we play a part in God's story. I am also of the belief that, you know, this story of the Bible, this is God's story of making himself known to all the peoples of the earth. God's desire, God's heart, it's God's pursuit of us, God making him known, and in us and through us, he wants other people to know him as well. And it is indeed a privilege for us to know him and to serve him. And this is what I want to just share and illustrate with us this morning in a very sort of brief time. This idea that God invites us all, each and every follower of Jesus. It does not matter how old we are. It does not matter how young we are, how experienced we are, how educated we are, uneducated. But each and every follower of Jesus, God invites to participate in his story. I say that when my story started growing up in my communities, respective communities, I had a fairly good life. I grew up in a Christian home, very thankful to God. Grow up in a community where you are exposed to everything that happens around you in the community, but I know I'm profoundly shaped by where I grew up. But my world, I say, was small. It was knowing my church, it's knowing family, your school, where you go to shop. That was sort of your world. I didn't know much beyond my world. In fact, when I went to the ship, it was the first time ever I got on an aeroplane to fly, right? The very first time, and the first flight is out of the country all the way up to Lebanon. So my world was small, but as we step out in obedience to God, then he will enlarge our world. He will make our world bigger. And then we kind of find also that this amazing privilege of knowing him, it's not for me just knowing him, but it's about me making him known to all the peoples of the earth as well. So I trust that we will be encouraged as we reflect on that this morning. So I'm looking at a story in the book of Exodus, and it is in Exodus chapter 25 where we want to start off this morning. So God comes and he gives an instruction to Moses, and it reads as follows, Exodus 25 from verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive a contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, lambs and spices for the anointing oil and fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in the midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, so you shall make it." So it's an interesting passage. This building of the tabernacle is whose idea? It's God's idea. And so this is God's great mission, right? But God invites his people to participate with him in this mission of his. And so he comes and he starts off instructing Moses, go to the people and go take up a free will offering. Bring whatever is on your heart, bring what you can to contribute towards the building of the tabernacle. And so we see that people gave freely. And earlier this morning, we took up offering as well. So in many ways, we were giving what is on our heart to give, right? A free will offering, contributing to the work, to the expansion of God's kingdom work as well. But this was not the only way that people could contribute to God's mission of building the tabernacle. One, it was the free will offering. But at another occasion in Exodus 30, God also invites the people to take up a census. And here, everybody from the age of 20 years old, young and old, it says, male and female, they were all to give exactly the same amount. Now, it's interesting because the amount, it meant even if I had more to give, I was not asked to give more. I was asked to give exactly the amount that the next person will give. But it also means even if I couldn't give more and I only had a little to give, I could give that little. So yeah, it gave an equal opportunity that everybody can contribute to God's work. And how many times do we find ourselves like we measure up, right? And we kind of feel, no, what I have, it's not sufficient to give to God's work. Whatever it is, it may be my gift, my skill set. It may be something material as well that we feel we disqualify ourselves to contribute, to give towards God's work. But here God comes and God says, no, everybody gives equally. That will allow no one to feel left out to give and to feel part and parcel of participating in building the tabernacle. I say in our community, or the communities rather, that I grew up in church, very thankful and privileged for that as well. And we come from in Africa at large. In fact, we just traveled and toured through East Africa. We have a very evangelistic church. We have a fully fired African church, right? We have a church that knows how to share the gospel message with others. But when it comes to talking to the church about participating in God's mission in the world, then all of a sudden this very enthusiastic church sometimes feel that we cannot contribute. Because what do we have? What do we give, right, to participate in God's kingdom work? But here God says, whatever you have, that you can bring. And then the third way that people could give, it was using the skills of the hands. And in Exodus chapter 31 is a passage that I absolutely have fallen in love with. It's one that is hidden, you know, not the one that you generally go to when you talk about participating in God's work. But here in Exodus 31, it reads as follows. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with the ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, from the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you. Now, this is a very interesting passage. Generally, when we talk about those who contribute to God's work, we tend to look at the people, perhaps the people with the titles in church, right? Or the positions in church, the pastors or the youth leader, the worship leader. But do we ever look at those that are filled with skill sets? Any craftsmen in the house? Yes, hands are going up. Anyone with their own business? God comes here. God is about his mission, inviting people to participate. And here God comes and God says, I have filled Bezalel with my spirit. Filled him with my spirit to do what? To use his hands, to use his skill set. And look at the skills, right? Or what he crafts. He crafts from the offering that was contributed. He can work with gold, with silver, with bronze, with the stones that was brought for the work of the tabernacle. But God has not just filled him with his spirit. God has given him ability. God has given him intelligence. God has given him wisdom. And with that, he's contributing to the building of the king of the tabernacle. When we think of our participation in God's story, what do you have? Perhaps you have a free will offering that you can generously give towards kingdom work, to building God's work wherever you are. Perhaps you find yourself at a place where you're kind of like, I don't have that much to give, or my giving is so little compared to that one. Or for some reason you limit, or you create a barrier. But what do you have in your hand? Because there's an opportunity for you to give equally towards God's kingdom. But what is your skill set? Where has God placed you? Where you can use what He has entrusted to you to make Him known to the peoples that you are engaging and interacting with. The purpose of the tabernacle, it was not so much the detail of the building. It was not the detail of the offering. The purpose of the tabernacle was this would be the place where the presence of God dwells. Right? And so in verse 8, it says, so that my presence may dwell among my people. And this was important because as we worship God, as we live for Him, that those who look to us, they know who the one is we're following. They know our God, and in that way we are making Him known to the peoples around us, to the peoples of the earth. God invites us to participate. I'm going to fast forward here. We move on to the New Testament. This story of God wanting to make Himself known, it does not end. It is a continuous story throughout Scripture. Jesus came to make the Father known. Jesus had absolute clarity about why He came. So when He comes towards the end of His ministry also, we read in the Gospels, in particular in John 17, He says, Father, now glorify Yourself. I have come to make You known to those that You have entrusted to Me. Who was entrusted to Him? His followers. His disciples, right? So in His life, in His ministry, in all He did, whether He preached at the synagogue reading from the scroll, whether He fed the 5,000, or whether He healed the sick or prayed, Jesus was making the Father known. And He was modeling this to the disciples, to His followers. But Jesus comes, and then in the same way that the Father has sent Him into the world, He now says, so I send them into the world. And so when we read then the passage in Matthew 28, which is familiar to many of us, Jesus sort of again comes to this point in Matthew's version towards the end of His ministry, and He gives out this instruction again where He invites His followers to participate in His mission. What is His mission this time? It is mission into the world, the Great Commission, right? And so it reads from verse 16, now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission, it does not belong to a church or in a missions organization or a particular people from a certain territory. The Great Commission, it's God's mission. God's mission to the world, to make Himself known to the world. And even in this, God invites us, His people, His followers, to participate with Him in His mission to the world. God's story, it involves all of God's people. And our participation may look different. For me, it meant I finished high school. I studied financial management here. I worked Nedbank in Oxford Street for about 3 years. I served in my local church, very engaged, very active, and it was through serving in my local church where I also grew in understanding, Lord, there's more. And so when I was introduced to the world of mission, not fully knowing what I'm signing up for, I gave up the job and I joined missions training and I joined the ship, and 20 years later, I'm back on the ship now. Right? But as I stepped out in obedience, God expanded my world. And there was a realization, a deep realization. God wants to know me, Trezinia. Yes, thank you, Lord. But Trezinia, in and through you, I want the peoples of the earth to know me too. For me, it meant I left my job and I went to what we call perhaps the ends of the earth. What does it look like for you? How are you participating in God's story? Because God is at work all around the world. God is at work here in East London. In East London, there's people who do not know Him. In East London, in fact, the nations of the earth that we often go to, they have now come to us. How will we make Him known? Are we participating in His story? Are we part of making Him known to the world? It is my deep prayer, my desire that we as a church will understand that God calls us, that in us, through each and every one of us, He wants to make Himself known to the peoples of the earth. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Find more on Shofar East London's podcast channel. Let's do life together.